and welcome to On the Box. We are the Geek Show show all about TV shows. Yeah, three shows in a sentence. So, I'm Andrew, and today I am joined by Andy.
Yes.
Ryan.
Oh, hello.
And Rob.
Here.
And we've got many exciting news stories on so many different things. So many strange, strange things.
You're twisting my melon, man.
Yes, that is something that we will come to in a bit, and it will be glorious. But why don't we start with Ryan? What have you got?
Right. So it seems like everyone has a streaming service. We've got Amazon Prime, Netflix, Sky are doing their own Sky Q, and yeah, there's more and more, it seems like, cropping up everywhere. But I think it's only about time, but it looks like Apple might be venturing into creating their own streaming service, and their first actual program that they're going to fund, they've got none other than Dr. Dre, straight out of Eminem's basement. And yeah, this is going to be, it's called Vital Stars, and it's going to be a 6-part drama, sort of like autobiographical on his life. Now,
on the life of Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
This should be interesting.
Well, actually, I was just about to say, like, you've got things like Straight Outta Compton that was a massive success, and everyone says they want a sequel because loads of people are interested about, because especially in Straight Outta Compton, like halfway through, very much split off between, you know, Eazy-E and, you know, what was all the problems he had, and then Dr. Dre's side of it when he was like actually getting into the business. But no, everyone said like they really need to make a sequel to that, and this looks like it might clear up some parts of it. But I think now's a good time to do something like that. But I would say the more important about this is the fact that, you know, Apple jumping into the on-demand service game.
Yeah, which is definitely interesting because they already own, like, basically everything else.
It's like, it's one of these things where you think, like, why have they not done it already?
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised it's taken them this long.
Well, I think part of it is because of all that lovely Pixar money. Remember, Steve Jobs was one of the people who started Pixar, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he was, and he's been, like, getting royalties ever since.
Yep. So every time Pixar makes a hit, he gets a stinky big check.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. I believe that Elvis and Steve Jobs are hanging out on an island somewhere.
An island in the sun.
Yeah. It's retirement. There's an island somewhere with all these people who we think are supposed to be dead, but they're not. They're just kind of going, we had enough of fame. Now we're here. You know, it's not like The Prisoner.
That needs to be a movie. Mm.
What, The Prisoner?
Hmm?
Or the island.
Just celebrities on an island. That just, for some reason, they're all immortal and they just hang around.
Can we call it like Legendary Island or the Island of Legends?
Yeah, well, the only problem with that is that everyone knows that's not what happened to Elvis, Rob. Because he went to a retirement home and had to fight an evil mummy cowboy.
Ah, true, this is true. But then after that,
he faked his death for a second time.
Yeah, he might have ascended to a higher plane of existence after that. He beat an undead mummy.
And got to live on the magic island with everyone else.
Yes. It was his final test.
So this series is going to be like Lost, but awesome.
Yes.
This is actually a good sounding TV show.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't.
And if you got Steve Jobs involved in that, you know, they're going to have a uniform. It's going to be roll necks all the way.
Maybe Steve Jobs could be the bad guy in this. Mm.
He'd make a good bad guy.
Oh, yeah, well, he's going to have to be now. Can you imagine him trying to get David Bowie into a polo neck?
Although you do realise Alan Rickman will be a good contender for villain.
See, I would actually like him not to be the villain for once, just for the hell of it.
Yes. Lemmy will be the leader of the resistance.
Well, Lemmy or Hendrix?
No, Lemmy.
Actually, no, it'd be hilarious if it was Lemmy and Hendrix was his right-hand man.
Yes.
Just for the irony value. Because he was left-handed.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, you've got me now. You've put a thing in my head that I want, but I can't have it.
So, that's genius. There you go.
That is beautiful. Anyway, since we've already mentioned a bunch of streaming stuff, Andy, you have kind of a clump of...
Yes, I've got two lesser stories and one quite story we can have a laugh about.
Quite story we can have a laugh about.
Right. I'll start off with Sky Q.
Okay.
What's happened with this?
Service that everybody seems to either love or hate at the minute.
Well, I don't think many people that I've spoken to actually like it. I think mainly because of the, was it the 42 pricing. Reasons?
Yeah, the ridiculously expensive reason.
Netflix execs, they're surprised that Sky have not included Netflix into that service.
Really?
Yeah, which yes, I think
Virgin Media
confirms,
and BT have.
Yeah, probably confirms that they're going to be trying to like go up against Netflix as their own streaming service.
With that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. But Netflix, on that front, Netflix are going down various avenues to try and shore up their position in the streaming market because they're going to be losing properties at a rapid pace because all these other streaming services are starting. So they're going to be losing properties at a rapid pace.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be okay now because of all the work they've put into their own original properties.
Yes.
So I think they've got that foundation they can fall back on now.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I said they've been doing a lot of work to try and shore up their status, which is one of the reasons why they're getting into the anime production side of things.
This will be good to see as well. See how long this actually lasts. But I don't see Sky Q really going up to Netflix anytime soon.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I feel like Netflix probably has too big a foothold in the market now for Sky Q to be able to do much to it.
Well, Netflix is one of those things. It's become more of a verb type thing now, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You go home to Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, the joy of Netflix, it's a thing. Just some bearded guy sitting on a couch. Pictures of different ways to position the remote control.
is this going to have to be a late night special?
Yes.
Now, you should go and tell the other two stories that we've got now.
Go on, then.
The other one is actually quite funny as well. This is Sky 5's on-demand service, Demand 5.
Oh, yes.
I've relaunched it as My 5.
Yes.
Ironically, because Demand 5 is no longer in demand.
It was never in demand. I don't understand why they called it Demand 5.
No, it was in demand. People always demanded that it just go away.
Yeah, it was always there, but...
They capitalized on the X-Files with their relaunch campaign as well.
The X-Files?
Yes.
On Demand 5. But the X-Files, the new version, by all reports, was not good.
No,
you can watch
it
on, like, Amazon Video as well.
Sorry, what was that? I missed...
No, I was just saying that, yeah, I've heard it's pretty mediocre.
Yeah, apparently the spark that drove the chemistry between Mully and Scully. Scully and Mulder. Forgot what their names are.
I heard like the second or third episode, it was like, all right, and then apparently it just started horribly and it ended horribly.
Well, you know, back in the day, they had a kind of spark, you know, will they, won't they, will they, won't they.
Which is ironic because they hated each other in real life.
Yeah, we know. And time and separation has not made them like each other any better. And it kind of shows in some of the episodes. You can get this palpable sense that they're just barely tolerating each other.
Is it more like the exact same, but it just got old?
I think it is just old. I think it's just past its time. X-Files, product of its time, and I don't think they should have brought it back, but what can you do?
I suppose then you've got things like Grimm, which is like...
Grimm?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's like the fantasy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like sort of taking it from the fantasy, but it's more supernaturally.
It's fairy tales. It's basically the Brothers Grimm type stuff, and that's where they called it Grimm, the whole word.
I'd worked that bit out.
Yeah, and then they did Once Upon a Time, which was kind of a rival. Apparently is better.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not so much like taking the X-Files' crown.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I suppose now it's taking Fringe's crown.
Actually, yeah, that's
because Fringe
point.
Is the show that's like, hey, we're the new X-Files, give us all of your fans.
Wasn't that one of part of Fringe's original marketing campaign back when it came out?
Yeah, no, it was like straight up marketed as the replacement to the X-Files.
Yeah.
The last story will be your favourite, Rob.
Really?
I know it's your favourite because it's your favourite type of programming.
Well, surely it's all our favourite types of programming.
I want to start off with the phrase, hi you.
Hi you.
Hi you.
Is this like a greeting? Hey, is it like the variation on hey you?
This is NBC Universal's brand new, in the UK as well, reality TV streaming service.
Oh, yeah.
It's where you can watch all your favourite episodes of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and all your other top-rated, I use that term very loosely, reality TV shows.
Guys,
for £3.99
guys,
a month.
Good news. They have Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Which is ironic because of old episodes.
So
you're not keeping up with the Kardashians. You're spying on them.
Oh my God, they've literally like got rid of the one reason for people to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Did that peacock that they use as the NBC logo suddenly take a massive dump all over the television networks? Because that's what this is, a massive dump on the television networks.
You do get a free trial month, Rob.
I don't want a free trial month.
No.
I actually do want the free trial month, but I want it to be a proper trial with a jury and me as the judge.
And an executioner.
Yeah. Top Chef. I don't know what that is. But Top Chef. It's very, very...
See, if Top Chef was in the style of Top Cat, so you had to rummage around the bins in order to make a meal, it was forever being chased by the law.
Filthy Frank's already done that.
Then, you know, if it was that kind of Top Chef, then I'd watch it. But if it's any, I mean, The Millionaire Matchmaker, when Rob from Cinema Eclectica and I, when we were going to the local gym, which is close to where we live, last year, we'd be on the exercise bikes and they'd have these TVs in front as they do at various other gyms.
Oh, gym TV and is always terrible.
Gym TV is always terrible, but they'd always show the same sort of things. It'd be Jeremy Kyle, The Millionaire Matchmaker, Come Dine With Me, and I forgot, I think it was The News or something like that. And it'd be only ever, whenever we turned up, it'd only ever be those shows.
I don't understand, because the gym is already a soul-crushing and depressing experience.
Yeah, and having...
Why do they need to make it worse?
Having Jeremy Kyle and The Millionaire Matchmaker in Come Down With Me, it just kind of raised the level of evil in that gym by, like, several degrees. I don't understand.
Should they Come Down With Me, like... even worse, because like you're there, like desperately trying to lose some pounds, and everyone's like, look at this delicious steak I'm eating.
No, they would never like look at this delicious steak I'm eating. It's Come Down With Me.
Actually, that's but look at this terrible undercooked steak I'm eating.
That's
because... but it makes you think of good steak that you could be eating instead of being like on the treadmill.
Exactly.
Or worse, on the cross trainer. The most fabulous piece of gym equipment ever designed.
Yes, move your arms and your legs at the same time. Well, isn't that walking? Or swimming? Or any other thing?
No, I think what you'll find is it's flouncing is the proper term for what you do in a cross trainer.
There we go.
Where's this descending to?
We don't know. We're just on the elevator. We're waiting for it to stop. Anyway, Hayu. I do think, I've looked at the spelling of it, it's spelled H-A-Y-U, and yeah. I do think it's supposed to say Hey You.
Maybe.
What else could it mean, though?
I don't
know. Who was on the marketing for this? Let's name it this.
No. But I mean, it's got, as you said, it's got Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it's got The Real Housewives of not just Beverly Hills, but probably like Alabama or some other...
Oh, dear God. Thunder all over.
Yeah, there's more than one Real Housewives show. They've got Orange County as well. And they are all orange in that series.
You're a big
I didn't
fan,
actually. No, I didn't actually believe it until my sister put it on. She's like, "Have you seen these Real Housewives shows?" I went, "They're not my thing." She goes, "Have you seen the Real Housewives of Orange County one?" I said, "No, they're not my sort of show." She goes, "You got to watch it. They're all really orange." I went, "Nah, that's not true." It appeared on like one of the ITV channels, and I thought, oh, "Okay, let's check this out." And they really are all orange. In Orange County.
Now you know where it gets its name.
Yes. It's all that fake tan.
I just can't wait for the inevitable Real Housewives of Bible Belt, Louisiana.
That's probably coming.
I would like the Real Complete Housewives of cartel owners. That'd be like amazing.
Can we have real...
Isn't there a show like Mob Wives or something?
No. I'll tell you what I watched randomly. It was... what was it? I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, what are they called?
Confessions of Amish Wives? Amish.
Yeah, Amish Mafia.
I just said that.
Amish Mafia is hilarious.
Amish Mafia.
It's fantastic.
Sorry, what?
It's a reality TV show called Amish Mafia, and it's about the Amish Mafia.
Amish Mafia.
It's literally what you could expect.
The Amish who forswear all technology.
Which... apart from guns, they are packing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I was like anticipating they'll have to use slingshots or something.
I was hoping for
Are you reconsidering that 3 months now, Rob?
I still think it should be a proper trial.
If you
can
get Amish Mafia, it's worth it because it's amazing.
Do they have like lowrider horses?
Are these the ones that kind of rear every few steps? Oh no, they prance, you know, with their knees in the air.
It's actually ridiculous. Like, it's one of the most weirdest things I've ever seen. I don't know if I want to watch any more of it because I was just confused.
Is it scary though? This service could actually work because it's actually priced at $3.99.
Yeah, people will pay that for it.
Yeah,
they will.
People will pay that
especially
for it.
Especially the type of people that are going to be watching this.
Especially gyms. Gyms will pay that for us. Multiple TVs showing just Hayu, whatever you call it. And you can have all of these fantastic shows. The Millionaire Matchmaker really annoys me. I want to punch that woman. And I don't say that about women generally.
I want to punch all of them. All of the entitled
people. You all need to
people.
Go and watch Amish Mafia.
I do need to go watch Amish Mafia.
Millionaire Matchmaker, the Amish Mafia version. That would be amazing.
Oh, no. Some of their wives I do not want to touch with 10-foot pole. But then I feel like I wouldn't have a choice. They're so big and horrible. You know, they can have like so many wives. It look like one.
Hang on,
them...
are we talking about the Amish or the Mormons?
The Amish.
Right. Amish are only one wife, aren't they?
I don't know. Either way, one of them looked like it ate like his other two wives. I was like, oh, what is that?
We'll have to do some research for next week's show.
I think
we need to check this.
Please, because it's fantastic.
Let's move on.
Yes.
So I have my own little bit of news. Basically, the Iron Fist series from Marvel, first of all, apparently isn't like as dead as I thought it was. And secondly, has actually cast its Iron Fist.
Really?
Yeah, it will be Finn Jones, who is Sir Loras Tyrell in Game of Thrones. And to this news, I have to say resounding, yeah, okay.
I was thinking...
The problem is I haven't seen him in anything enough to be like, have any proper opinion on it. But I think by this point we can trust that Marvel's probably going to like make a good casting choice.
Yeah, they've been good so far.
Although I like how there's like controversy online that he's too skinny. It's like, people can bulk up. This is what they do.
And they could also just wear more like fattening clothing.
Does he have like a background in martial arts?
Yeah, but
that helps him out.
It's Iron Fist.
No, he has absolutely
he's supposed
no
to be built like Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, that's
not
the
like
other
Super
thing.
Duper Sumo.
He's meant to be like, I think lithe is the word to be fancy.
Yes. He's supposed to be built like Bruce Lee or, you know, any kind of gymnast, I suppose you'd say.
Well, or just like any martial artist.
Yeah. Well, no, some martial artists I've seen are huge.
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on martial art, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, super duper sumo. Or just sumo. Let's just call it that. It's still a martial art. And if you get hit by a sumo wrestler, like a properly trained sumo wrestler, you'll feel it.
Actually, that reminds me, in the Iron Fist comics, there is a sumo character called Fat Cobra. I so hope he shows up.
Does he have, like, various brothers in arms?
Oh, no. Better than that. He has an entire harem of women with him. Because he's also one of, like, the world's greatest lovers.
Don't, because, seriously, in Japan, if you're Yokozuna, like, as in the best sumo wrestler, then you got your pick of the women. You know, you can get married to whichever woman you want. One of them, the wedding photo for it was just so weird because it's this huge guy. I mean, huge. We're talking like properly huge. He's like a small mountain. And then next to him is this tiny Japanese woman. You know, very, very beautiful. Tiny. Looked so tiny next to him.
And that is the beauty of sumo.
Yep.
What?
Seriously, sumo used to be brutal. You know the referees? You know they have the fan, but they also have like a tanto or a blade of some sort. Because if the sumo wrestler is a coward, they're expected to commit harakiri.
Sorry. Why I said, oh, what, is because I thought he said, because that's the beauty of SeaWorld. I was like, what? It's like, that brings a whole new meaning.
You're saying Shamu the Whale would make the best sumo wrestler?
Well, he'd certainly slap him out of the ring.
Oh my gosh.
They're probably like safer wrestling sumos than being in SeaWorld.
No, there's a reality show.
What? Sumo whales.
Street sharks.
I was going to say, because sumo whales, I think that already exists in places in Cardiff, doesn't it? I've been there. I know the truth.
So shall we add Cardiff to the list of places that we're not getting invited to?
I think we should just start making a small list of places that we might be invited to.
What, just to get rid of us?
Madagascar. Pretty sure we haven't insulted the people of Madagascar yet.
Not yet.
No, we didn't. The DreamWorks did, though.
Yes, they did.
Hey.
Yes, apparently nobody lives on Madagascar except the lemurs. And, yeah, they don't wipe.
And singing monkeys.
They were lemurs.
Well,
right, and this is remarkably...
Yes, speaking of people who like to move it, move it.
Yes, move it is right. And this picture is scaring the bejesus out of me, seriously.
Oh, you found... Wait, is it the opening picture of the GIF?
It's the opening picture on The Independent.
Ooh, oh, but I have to look at this now. Everything.
How do I start this? Way back when, there used to be a band called the Happy Mondays, right? And Sean Ryder and his band, they had a really good following. Their main rivals around that time were the Stone Roses, and everyone was kind of all peace and love and lots and lots and lots of drugs. This was the 90s. Britpop was a thing. And along came the Happy Mondays and their hype man. Now, we didn't know what a hype man was in this country. We just thought, who's that guy who's dancing around on stage with them? That turned out to be Mark Berry, now better known as Bez.
To be fair, I'm sure also didn't know what a hype man was.
I'm pretty sure he didn't even know what day of the week it was.
Oh, the concept of a week even existed.
Yeah, there was something cosmic going on about Bez. And now, the hype man who used to dance on stage weirdly, in some weird, fascinating lava lamp-type moves.
Yeah, well, I've seen a GIF, and he looks like a majestic octopus.
Yes.
Is the best way to describe his dance moves.
Bez was also part of Black Grape as well, which is another band founded by Sean Ryder. And he's ostensibly a dancer, and now he wants to be on Strictly Come Dancing. And go.
I'm excited.
It would make it interesting, for sure.
I really want to see Bez on Strictly. I think we should have more people like Bez on Strictly who really don't care about what sort of dance it's supposed to be. They're just going to go in the corner, get the glow sticks, and start doing their thing. It's their interpretation on a waltz. Screw the judges.
Thing is, I've never
watched
that.
Maybe Bez should be a judge as well.
Yes.
That would be even funnier.
Oh, no. I could just see Bez, you know, if they basically give him a bad score, say, okay, you get up and do better.
And then he would.
Yes.
The thing is, I've never really watched, that's never been a show which I'd sit and watch, but I'd probably watch that because he'd probably win. He'd probably get voted and actually win.
You know, I don't think that's the case because there are a lot of people who don't even know who Bez is now.
Yeah, but I feel like if there's a guy who just, like, walks up onto the stage, pulls out some glow sticks and just starts raving it up.
Yeah.
He's going to be who the public vote for.
Yep. The most that people know about Bez right now is that John Bishop kind of looks like him.
Which he does.
Like, yes.
If I was John Bishop, I would get some sort of reconstructive surgery.
He's already acknowledged it, though, hasn't he? John Bishop.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did do some sort of reconstructive surgery. He whitened his teeth, so now you can tell the difference. Look for the one with the cleanest teeth. That's how you know who John Bishop is. I think we killed that story.
Well, we have indeed. We will bury it in the ground and move away from it.
But hopefully it becomes reality.
I hope so.
I don't know. He wants to be on Strictly, and I think they'll probably evaluate whether he can be on Strictly and probably how many drugs he's not taking at the moment.
He's begging them to be on the show, though, apparently.
Is he begging them?
Begging them.
What, is his popularity declined that much?
He just wants to do the show.
He just wants to do the show? Really?
Well, does Bez seem like a man who cares about his popularity?
Well, considering he was running for Parliament at one point.
That's because he's Bez. He just does whatever. He wakes up in the morning and just does whatever he feels like. Tomorrow's just with a, today I'm going to be an astronaut. Good thing I don't actually have to go into space.
You make him sound like a five-year-old.
Because he is.
Okay, okay. Well, if Bez, the five-year-old, wants to go on to Strictly, then, you know, we can ask his parents.
Get them to sign a permission form.
Yeah. Shall we take a break?
We shall. We'll take a break now, and we'll be back with what we've been watching.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated television podcast, where we talk about TV and stuff.
Yep, right. And junk and whatnots.
Yes, right. Now, we are into what have been... Right.
Watching Have We Been What?
Words from my mouth, floor not good.
But I thought you talked England very best.
I do talk England very best.
See?
Anyway, this is what we've been watching. So, guys, what have we been watching?
I'm going first by everybody's...
accusing stares.
I've been watching a show which I haven't actually watched fully until this Comic Relief version, and that's The Great British Bake Off. I know that Rob is a big fan.
Yes.
But this one, I mean, it's been... absolutely brilliant for the ones that can't bake as well. Celebrities, like, for example, Will Young on this last British Bake. I know they use the word celebrity very loosely on these shows, but, for example, start trying to bake tomato soup cupcakes.
See, I was worried when you said can't bake, because I, for some reason, in my head, I had this weird crossover between the Great British Bake Off and Can't Cook, Won't Cook. So, and
be a new show, Can't Bake, Won't Bake.
I tried so hard.
Yeah, a new show called Can't Bake, Won't Bake. And you've got like Mary Berry doing her best Ainsley Harriet impression. And I'm not sure how that works.
I think badly is how it works.
Yeah.
And it's finished now. This run of four episodes is finished. But I'm going to talk about the last two episodes. Well, this one, Ed Edmondson from Bottom Fame and the Young One.
Oh, yeah.
Got the star baker. And his final showstopper was a vertical cupcake portrait of, I think it was Cliff Richard.
A vertical cupcake portrait of Cliff Richard.
And it was basically cupcakes of three different flavours. They were all vertical on a sheet, baking tray. Also, look, well, you said Cliff Richard, but the best bit was where he couldn't figure out where his excess cupcakes came from, because he had like two or three spare. Forgot to put the hands on.
Okay.
But, oh God, it was brilliant. But over the series as well, you've had Jason Manford on, who tried to make a Ashes cake, but they had no little trophy that they win. Put it on the top and it sank right in the middle.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say, like, he overcooked it.
I can just imagine, like, this, like, the little trophy just sinking. It's just a Titanic theme tune. It goes down.
It's not that, it's just...
And he just slowly keeps cutting back to him, just single tearing as it goes down.
No, no, no. You can have the cutting back to him single tearing, but the Ashes kind of sinking down and, you know, heading down under. It's kind of a reflection of England's performance generally in the Ashes.
To which you just crack his ball.
Yeah, exactly.
It just cuts back to him, just broken down.
They do use the term celebrity. I've been using the term celebrity very loosely. I mean, Samantha Cameron won the first show.
Hang on, Samantha Cameron as in the wife of David Cameron?
Yes.
How is she a celebrity?
I don't know.
Well, she's famous.
And what was that one? Michael Ball? Isn't Michael Balls?
Did he say Michael Ball or Michael Balls?
Balls. Is it Honor Ed Balls?
Yeah, Ed Balls.
Yes, I was going to say.
I was going to say his name is Michael Ball, not Michael Balls.
Ed Ball, Michael Ball.
That would have been completely different.
So there's balls everywhere on the show.
Yes,
he was on the second show, and can actually cook. Nick,
was it balls to the wall action?
Oh dear me.
Anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Episode title, are you?
Balls to the wall.
Call it Michael Balls to the wall.
Ed Balls to the wall.
Well, now that we're done with the filthy smut that Andy has been watching, Ryan, have you been watching something clean and respectable?
Not really.
And without the marzipan.
No, it's all about drug money and meth. But yeah, I've been watching. I had no idea it was actually back on, but Better Call Saul season 2
has
started.
Yes, it has.
Cool.
But sort of jumping back and looking back at season 1 and what Better Call Saul's actually doing for like sort of the Breaking Bad franchise at the minute. But obviously, I thought the start of season 2, it did what season 1 did, and sort of it was very much post Breaking Bad. Trying to avoid the spoilers, but it's very much post Breaking Bad, and just again the black and white, and we can see that, you know, he's on the run still, Saul Goodman. But what I'm hoping to do though is they start developing more of these like sort of like, well, I must say like the entire series is a flashback itself, and you know how he got to became like Saul Goodman, but I'm hoping they actually develop, you know, the post-Breaking Bad to actually, like, reveal something or actually get some more information of what's going on. Because so far it just seems very bleak, but what they could reveal, who knows, but there's a lot of potential to actually develop, you know, the Breaking Bad franchise as a whole from that. But so far, I must say, is that, again, the entire series is a look back and, you know, before he was Saul Goodman when he was just James McGill, and when you know he was, the thing is Breaking Bad, it was about again people breaking bad, good people turning bad, but the thing is with James McGill is that he was always pretty bad to start with, but then the fact that he goes clean, but then he's always, you know, diving backwards and forwards, and I feel like it so far anyway, from the first season and the first two episodes of season 2, I can't help but enjoy Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad. I don't know why. I just feel like it has more character to it. I must say, like, you know, James Gill is just a much more interesting character, I think. But then obviously you've got recurring characters from Breaking Bad, like Mike. But I don't know, even though it's more from a lawyer's perspective, more as opposed to this crime part, which he does get involved in, but I don't know, I think it's just, as a character, he always had that presence because he was just, like, smart and witty. But I really do love it. Just like, has anyone else seen Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I've seen up to the first episode of season 2. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very much that. It feels like a lot of people that I've talked to believe that Better Call Saul is much better. I don't know why. It felt like Breaking Bad just took a bit too long to get into, and there was far too much focus on multiple characters while it's mainly just, you know, it's Saul.
See, I don't know if it serves better, because I feel like it's more, it's trading off all the goodwill that I got from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the best scenes, you know, were with Saul, and now it's just him, and they've really just played up this character and basically given him an origin story, which can be as silly as they want him to be, because it is quite silly.
Yeah, it is. And very, just, very silly.
It
indeed.
Is very silly, but it still has that serious undertones to it and can be still quite insane. Mike, again, it's just more character development for these really awesome characters. But I feel like because not having to focus on these, again, in Breaking Bad with that many people, like they can really find small details and make you love these characters even more than you normally did. But I'm really enjoying it. And so far, again, I think, in my opinion, it's better than Breaking Bad. But I don't know. Like I said, I've never really found a bad episode of it so far. It's just always pleasant, but season 2 is just hilarious. But I'd love to see where they go with it. Obviously it's going to get to the point where he does become like Saul Goodman, but you know, I'm in for the ride. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, it is some good stuff. Rob, what about you? What have you been watching?
I managed to catch a documentary on iPlayer, and it's one that I didn't expect to see. It was a BBC 4 documentary, which was on a while ago, and I meant to watch it when it was on, and I think it got repeated quite recently. And then I found it on iPlayer, and I thought, ooh, got to watch this. I meant to watch this. The Secret Life of Bob Monkhouse. Now, this one was really interesting from the point of view that a lot of people these days, a lot of the younger generation these days, don't actually know who Bob Monkhouse was. And a lot of people during his later career don't actually know just how filthy his mouth was when he did his stand-up. Because he was right at the forefront of kind of those shock stand-up comedians in his day. He didn't really hold back when he did his stand-up. He toned it down a lot for when he was on TV, and especially in his later life, but he did a stand-up tour. I think it was a few years before he died, he did a stand-up tour, and it was just kind of back to how he was when he was doing a lot of jobbing stand-up routines around the country, and it was back to kind of Bob Monkhouse as he was back then, but with the panache and the flair that he developed as a presenter on the BBC, and on, I think he was on ITV for a little bit as well. Yeah, he was on ITV because he did that hotspot one, you know, where they had all the TV screens going across and you had to press the button to see whether you could carry on or not. But he's one of those iconic presenters from when I was a kid. It wasn't really a proper evening in with TV unless you watched something that Bob Monkhouse was involved in. And it brought back a lot of those memories, but this documentary, they basically got some archive footage, but there was a lot of stuff that I hadn't actually seen before. And I've read a bit about Bob Monkhouse, but I was never really as much of a fan of Bob Monkhouse as some other people were, because I was a lot younger and didn't really understand a lot of the jokes right at first. And then as you get older and you see more of his older stuff, you start going, ah, I understand it now, but only because I'm an adult now, I know what those words mean. And now, the guy who did this, who directed this, is Andy Humphries, who's done quite a few of the documentaries. He's done, like, the Rick Mayer Lord of Misrule documentary in 2014. He's done some for Frankie Howard and Not the 9 o'clock News, various things like that. And he's done generally a good job on them. But I think this one's something slightly special because he's managed to get access to various bits of footage, photos, even the testimony of people who knew Bob outside of the TV environment, people who knew him in his more private moments, and you get more of an idea of just how much of an entertainer he was just in real life in general. And obviously, as with anybody who lives their life in front of the camera, he had his problems. He had things that they didn't really go into as much as maybe some fans would like. But I thought that he actually approached the whole situation, some of his more troubling times, would say, I think he actually approached them with a degree of sensitivity, if nothing else, because he is, you know, it is a documentary about somebody who is no longer alive and therefore can't explain why they might have said or done certain things. You know, they can't defend themselves in any way. I think this is one of the problems when you're doing a documentary about somebody who's dead or a group of people who are dead. They aren't alive to defend themselves. They aren't alive to explain their actions or their thoughts or their behavior or anything like that. And so you have to try and be sensitive about it. You can't simply paint it in black and white if there's ambiguity as to, I mean, Bob had his depressing times and everything like that, just like any normal person does. There were times when he was down, there were times when he was up. I think with Bob Monkhouse, he was one of those who, I think most people will remember him. Most of the people who remember him from TV will always remember that slightly smug grin that he had. I don't know. Do you guys remember Bob Monkhouse at all?
Not really.
No. From pizza things.
Eh?
From pizza things. Like on like Challenge and things.
Yeah.
But
you know when he ended the show and he had that slightly smug smile, like he'd seen the joke, but you hadn't. And he knew that you didn't know what the joke was, let alone the fact that there was even a joke in the first place. And I always remember that smile of his, you know, I always remember it because it was a little bit of a cheeky, chappy grin, but also with that added to it, that there was a joke going on and only he really got it. And to this day, I still think, I wonder what the joke was. Because it was something he was laughing at, and I don't think anybody living now actually knows what it was. But yeah, The Secret Life of Bob Monkhouse, if you're a fan of light entertainment, and if you're into your light entertainers, looking at you in particular, Andy, or if you're like, stand-up comedians, stuff like that, it's actually a pretty good watch, because it does deal a lot with his early career and his early life before he became famous and became a household name. It's kind of like, Cilla Black died recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did kind of a docudrama.
Oh, yeah, with What's-Her-Face, who's in everything. Yeah. Sheridan Smith,
yeah. And they were trying to focus a little bit on, before she suddenly became a household name on TV. And it's a little bit like that, but told strictly from the documentary perspective rather than the docudrama perspective, which I like. I don't think that Bob Monkhouse is one of those characters who you can really make a docudrama out of, because who's going to play him is the first question. It's like Tommy Cooper. You can't really make a docudrama out of Tommy Cooper. I think they may have tried at one point, but...
Yeah, I feel like they tried to do something about before he became famous.
Yeah, but it didn't really work.
Well, as evidenced by the fact that we can sort of only just about remember it existed.
Yeah. If you get a chance, and if you're interested in Bob Monkhouse, then it's definitely a good starting point, because it does cover a lot of stuff, and it's done very, very well.
Hey,
that's caught you guys off guard for some reason. I've been serious about something.
Damn it. It's Rob wins again.
It's like you guys can't actually comprehend me being serious. I can be serious, damn you all.
No, you can't.
I didn't even make one innuendo or joke or anything in there.
I know, it was scary and confusing. I think we should move on very quickly from it.
Yes.
So it's just me left, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
See, this is what serious Rob does, confuses and frightens Andrew.
It's a dark, scary time. Anyway, I've been watching The Night Manager.
Ooh.
On the BBC.
The Night Manager. Yes, I'm getting confused.
Yeah, so it's based on a John le Carré novel who did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yes.
Which was made into a film a few years ago with Gary Oldman. Like, that was really good. So this is another one of his books. It's been adapted into a TV miniseries with just, like, again, a crazy good cast. So the character's played by Tom Hiddleston. You've got Hugh Laurie as the villain. And Olivia Colman is, like, an sort of intelligence operative. I think she works for... I can't remember what it's called, but it's, like, it's not MI5 or MI6. It's, like... this tiny company that, like, they subcontract out to occasionally. And it's like, this is basically the side plot. But I'm going to talk about that for a second, because it's really cool. She basically has to deal with, like, MI6 being really bureaucratic and, like, constantly running up against brick walls. Because, going back to, like, what the actual main plot is this guy, Jonathan Pine, who is Dom Hiddleston, he is the night manager at a hotel in Egypt. And basically... one of the guests gives him a document to photocopy. It's kind of a, but whatever you do, don't look at this, wink. So inevitably, he does look at it, and basically it's a shipping manifesto for Hugh Laurie's company, which basically looks like some big charitable thing, but basically they're like shipping arms to rebels to help overthrow the Egyptian government. So obviously he tries to get in contact with the government, but they're having none of it because Hugh Laurie's character, he's a big donator to various things in England. So they kind of basically turn a blind eye. The guest who he gets entangled with ends up being killed, and he kind of quits his job in a bit of a huff. And then we like catch up with him in Switzerland now, where he's working as the night manager of a different hotel. And Hugh Laurie only happens to show up. Dun, 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 indeed. I definitely quite enjoyed it. It's a bit like a James Bond film, but slower, a bit more thoughtful. But with still like these sweeping shots of like Egyptian deserts and snow-capped Swiss mountains. Like, it's a very lovely show to look at. And it's... because at the moment, the plot has kind of basically just started, but there's lots of twisty-turny spy stuff that looks like it's going to be quite interesting. it's a bit hard to like properly sing its praises because obviously this is episode 1 of 6.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to like take a few episodes as we get further and further into the plot. But I'm definitely looking forward to the rest of it.
And what's this on BBC?
Yeah, BBC One, I believe.
Hmm. Yeah. Seems like they are doing more big, like these short 6-part, like, series type things with big names.
I'm glad they are.
Yeah, it seems I feel like they have to.
Yeah, I feel like this might be the smarter play to like go for miniseries where you can drop like a substantial budget on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they're not trying to do, you know, that Latin American, was it the White Slave one? 60 episode, like.
Yeah, 60 episode thing. Who needs 60 episodes in a series?
Nobody. It's not EastEnders or anything like that, so you don't need it. That's over a year for one series without any breaks.
I can barely manage 20-odd.
I know, like 20-odd feels excessive to me. Like 60. It's like 3 American series.
Yes, it is. 6 episodes, though, is highly manageable. The thing is, the nice thing about 6 episodes is you can marathon it quite easily. You could watch it all pretty much in one day. If you wanted to, you could just wait until it was all done, watch it all in one day.
Yeah, but with 60, it's like, that's a substantial chunk of your life.
Well, even with 12, you know, 12 or 20, it's still too much for one day.
Yeah, and actually, I think that's probably another reason why they're going more for miniseries like this.
Yeah.
Because there's more of like a binge-watching culture.
Yeah.
And this lends itself more easily to it.
Yeah, because I mean, if I hadn't watched Jonathan Strange, if I hadn't watched that week by week, I would have just sat and binge-watched the entire thing. And it was 7 episodes, so it was fine. Wasn't it 7 episodes?
6 or 7, definitely.
Yeah, and it was fine. You know, I would have been able to watch all that in one night. I would have been fully caught up and it would have been fine. I would have enjoyed myself because hour-long chunks, so I could basically watch an hour, maybe watch the next episode, take a break, go do something else, come back, watch the next 2 episodes, take a break.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if they make it long enough to do like whatever source material they're covering justice, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's of course the main thing.
At least they're not cutting it too short or making it too long just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah. Well, I know it's interesting because I was looking at some interview stuff and is it there have been like planned films of this novel for quite a few years that have always fallen through? Because it's quite a long, complex plot, and like you can't really fit it into 2 hours.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I've heard of them trying to make The Night Manager into a movie several times. But, you know, I can't remember if it ever got made or not. But that explains that.
Yeah, because this is the kind of thing where you need to spend quite a long time. Because it looks like it's going to be quite an intricate plot, so it's going to need a lot of explaining to it.
Mm. Probably the best time to do it, I would say.
Why?
No, this type of TV, sure.
Oh, right. I thought you meant thematically.
I would say with the cast and the way, like, again, we're consuming media, like, 6-part, like, you know, sensible, probably the best time to do it, I suppose, to. And probably have the patience for it as well, I reckon, this type of show.
I was just thinking, yeah, in terms of the actual, you know, the actual composition, the 6 episodes, stuff like that, yeah. I'm just wondering if. Because I'm just thinking about sort of the other programming that's on the BBC. And I've noticed that with a lot of these channels, they don't really have any kind of overarching theme when it comes to these sorts of things. They don't really, it's just kind of, yeah, we'll put this here and we'll put this here and, you know, we'll put this in this time slot. And they go by time slot and time slot.
What was the budget for this, if you wouldn't happen to know?
Unfortunately, Wikipedia does not tell me.
Okay. Just curious with the actors.
Yeah, because Tom Hiddleston, like, he's Marvel stock now, so he's going to be getting the big bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, also another thing that's come up this show is that, like, there's now online petitions to get Tom Hiddleston to be the next James Bond.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I could see that.
Yeah, because he can absolutely rock a suit, I can confirm that.
Interesting.
Well, I've got a picture of the Night Manager in front of me, and yes, he does rock the suit.
Oh, damn. Yes. Oh, that's
it. I'm a red-blooded heterosexual male, but...
Nah, look.
But just hot, damn.
Oh, that got you off guard.
It really did.
Apparently, the budget is like £20 million.
Really?
Yeah.
They got some really good talent for that, then. And Tom Hiddleston...
Well, it seems like all these... you know, TV companies are like finding something to drop a lot of money in. Like Beowulf costs 17 million.
Yeah.
For ITV, and that's meant to be like their big thing that they're trying to get off the ground. And then there's this.
Well, the cast for this, Tom Hiddleston, Hugh Laurie, Richard Roper, is it, playing the villain?
I think Richard Roper is the name of the guy Hugh Laurie is playing.
Is it? Ah, right. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Hugh Laurie is playing Richard Roper. Sorry. Olivia Colman is in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got Russell Tovey as well. Russell Tovey just popping up in a couple of scenes.
And Elizabeth Debicki, who was in Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah. That's where I recognize her from.
So, yeah. Really good cast. And for 20 million as well.
Yeah.
And when you get right down to it, it's six episodes. I'm assuming they're hour-long episodes.
Yeah, yeah, they're hour-long
episodes. So that's six episodes. How much does Hiddleston charge for a two-hour movie? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because if they're managing to do all of this for 20 million, it calls into question how much Hiddleston is getting for a movie, because this is 6 hours. A movie is, what, 2 to 3 hours at most?
Yeah, but I guess because of all the production costs on movies, they maybe take like an equivalent amount of time to film.
And then you got marketing on top
of that. Exactly.
Yeah,
true.
Well, it'll be done through BBC's marketing, so it won't be too bad.
Yeah, BBC's marketing is a lot better than most of the broadcast channels, I'd say, because they've already got they already control half the radio waves in the world.
Yeah, that's true. So they could just have people say, "Watch this show."
Like, very good show.
Make entire Radio 1 shows of people just saying, "Watch this show."
And in some countries, in certain areas, villages, districts, I don't know what you call them, you just say, "Tom Hiddleston is in this."
Yeah, just show like one of the promotional pictures.
Yes.
Also, apparently, one of the things I found looking up is this is a bit of a pet project for Hugh Laurie.
Is it?
So I assume he's probably come on for like fairly cheap.
Probably, yeah, if it's a pet project. Yeah. Ah, okay. So recommended viewing from you.
Yeah, then. Definitely recommended. Yeah. That's the end of the show then. So if you have liked what you've heard, you can find us on the internets. We have our own website, geekshow.co.uk, and you can contact us on at geekshow.co.uk.
Yeah.
How do our words? We're also on Mixcloud, we're on YouTube, we're on Stitcher, and we are also a voluntary organization. That's the bit I remember right now. Yes, we are. Basically, we're doing this completely voluntarily. We don't make any money of this, so we do rely on the help of our listeners. If you've liked what you've heard, maybe consider donating. You can find a link on the right-hand side of our website, or you can buy one of our thingy-majigs from the Geek Shop, which are both thingy and majiggy.
Yes, they are.
But that's it from us. So until next time, I've been Andrew.
I've been Andy.
I've been Ryan.
And I've been Rob.
And that's it from us. Thanks for listening.